I want you, Judy, to listen to this. It's very difficult to hear, but we'll play it a couple times, and you too as well, Tanner. Now, this was sent to us by Tom and Lisa Butler of the American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena. They've been on the program before. They do a very credible job of what they try to do.
And, oh, yes, I've heard them.
Yeah, and they take their jobs very seriously. Now, what you're going to hear, if you... And I'm going to tell you the words because it's very difficult to hear, but this is in a hotel. It might be the Marmont. It also might be the Roosevelt Hotel because they were out there getting all kinds of ghosts. And this one, they believe, said, "We picked up John Belushi," or something like that. And if it was, of course, in the Chateau Marmont, then who knows? But let's play that. And you'll also hear some woman's voice in between, and she's probably one of the investigators.
Okay. I'm going towards the bathroom.
And so now we'll play it again. Right at the end is where they think it said John Belushi. Here it goes again.
I'm going towards the bathroom.
Hard
yeah,
to hear,
see,
but
yeah. Where is she?
But
when you say Roosevelt, do you mean in L.A. or New York?
Might have been in New York.
Because we stayed in the Roosevelt in New York.
Yeah, right? That may have been in New York and Chateau. They're not too explicit of where they were. Did John believe in the paranormal, the unknown?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that today, and he used to always say that it was one of these things where he started this story several times about how he'd had seen a UFO. And then you always say, but of course I don't believe in extraterrestrials. And I never understood that. It's actually taken me years of listening to your listeners. Now I have an understanding of the difference of the two.
Right.
But, so one of those things, he'd start that story and always got interrupted somehow.
His friend, Dan Aykroyd, is a believer in all this.
Yes, very much. And I do recall conversations, and John was very curious about it. He didn't have, an experience like Dan had some experiences that made him believe stronger, and John was very interested. And he did tell me he loved the movie Close Encounters when it came out. And I remember afterwards he turned to me and said, "You know, don't take this the wrong way, but like if I ever had that choice, I'd have to go."
I have heard, and this could be an urban legend, but I'm not sure, that Dan Aykroyd keeps a radio, like a ham radio, in one of his rooms, always turned on, thinking and hoping that an electronic voice of John Belushi may come true. It come right through that.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
No, not at all. Hey, Tana, tell me a little bit about the story of Carol Caldwell. This is kind of an interesting story.
Well, there are a number of stories that I collected in doing the interviews of, you know, the John's life story didn't exactly end on March 5th, 1982. Carol Caldwell is by far the most extensive and the most interesting. She and Albert Brooks, Terry Garr, Carrie Fisher, and a whole bunch of other celebrities were, Carol Caldwell is a writer. She's Michael O'Donoghue's girlfriend at the time. They were yachting off of Catalina, where Natalie Wood drowned, and, Terry Garr had brought along a Ouija board to try and contact Natalie Wood. And, after dinner, everyone was, had a couple drinks up on the deck, and Terry and Carol Caldwell went down under deck to try and contact Natalie Wood, and they got out the board and were trying to make contact. And as you have it, you know, posted up on your website, the board started whipping around and the planchette started whipping all over the board, and they asked, you know, what is it? And it said, it's me, John B. And they said, John. And they said, it sped back and forth saying, yes, it's me. And they said, where are you? And it spelled out, I'm still stuck in L.A.
Oh.
I can't get out of L.A. And Terry Garr was like, no, let's don't do this anymore. Let's put it away. And Carol said, no, let's keep going. And so they put their hands back on the planchette and did it again. And it spelled out very deliberately and very slowly. It said, I have a message for all of you. Make the right choices. Not glamour. And then it raced to the edge and fell off the board. And there are several stories, two others, sort of about John's spirit possibly still being around and in some sort of state of unrest. Leyland the Bullseep, who was a good friend of John's and Judy's, had a a dream, and John showed up on Hudson Street in New York City in a taxi cab, and she got in, and John had this expression, sort of a puppy dog, hangdog expression, when he knew he'd really messed something up, and she got in the cab, and he really had that expression, like he'd really messed something up, and she said, well, what's going on? And he says, oh, it's really bad where I am. You have no idea how busy I am. I have so much work to do here, and I have to go now. And she got out of the cab, and he just took off. And the strangest story is actually from a couple of months ago. Mitch Glazer, who was another friend of John and Judy's, is a writer and now screenwriter out in L.A. He had rented out his house for a commercial shoot, and he and his wife, Kelly Lynch, had gone to stay at the Chateau Marmont, and they checked into Bungalow 3, the room that John died in. And around 4 a.m., the lights just came on. And, I mean, these were lights, you know, just a solid boom switch. You know, you got to turn them on.
Somebody's got to flip it, right?
Somebody's got to flip it. And at like 4 o'clock in the morning, the lights just came on. And Mitch just shot up straight in his bed and obviously didn't get much sleep for the rest of the evening. So
I have a friend, too, Rhonda, who for a period was, well, after John died, she was very helpful to me moving through my mourning period. And she used to have these periods where she thought, well, it was, in looking back, she'd say, well, it was a time, because she was trying to place what this, she'd have these issues with water. The hot water would come on and just be so, like for instance, when she picked up a guy and took him to her apartment, and the hot water, the shower would come on, and it wouldn't go off, and it would be so hot, and the steam would be coming out, and it would just not go off. And she said, well, what it was whenever she was about to get in hot water, she'd have these issues with hot water.
Right, exactly.
And she was convinced it was John, because he used to always tell her, Rhonda, you know, be careful now.